Good morning. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to finish this book today. Incidentally, starting this Saturday at 7, we're actually starting Saturday morning prayer. Right? So starting this Saturday, we forgot to announce it during the retreat. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that I may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. Not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. And masters, do the same things to them and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. With this in view, be on the alert, with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For I'm an ambassador in chains, and in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you also may know about my circumstances, how I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. And I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love incorruptible. Amen. As we went over yesterday, from 5:15 going all the way down to 6:9 is this one thought of walk in wisdom. Remember, if you were not here yesterday, we talked about chapter 5, but 4, 5, and 6, or 1, 2, and 3 is about our position in Christ. 4, 5, and 6 is about how we should live our life because of our position in Christ. With that said, he uses this motif of walking. And so we talked about it yesterday. It's the first part is walking in love, and then he talks about walking in light. This is chapter 5. And then he talks about walking in wisdom, and that's what we get here. And so yesterday he finished this thought talking about relationships and how we should be wise in our relationships. And then he continues on. So this is actually the same thought. If I was in charge of doing the numbering of the Bible, I would have put chapter 6 actually at verse 10, but, you know, it is what it is. And so he says, children, and notice the nuance here, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that I may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So notice the two differences here, and I think especially like in an Asian context, we have to really, really understand this. Look what he says. He says, obey your parents in the Lord. Okay? Very important that you recognize what the in the Lord says. And then it says, honor your mother and father. And so as children, you know, with our parents, we are to obey them, but not all the time. Did you hear that? We are to obey our parents, but we don't have to obey them all the time. In other words, what if your parents say to you, you know, they're non-believers, and they say to you, oh, you know what, you know, I want you to lie to the electric man that comes over today and say that this is, you know, whatever, a lie to the landlord or do something like that. You're under no obligation under heaven to obey your parents if it's going to lead you to sin. You guys understand that? Right? You're in no obligation whatsoever. You know, even if, you know, parents, I mean, a whole full range of gamut. They're gonna, and even Christian parents too, right? And so you gotta make sure that your obedience is in the Lord, right? That this is something that God would say to you, and that you're not violating anything of God's word in your life. But with that said, he follows up that command by saying, "But honor your mother and your father." This is the only commandment that has a promise that your lives will be full and long and prosperous in the land that God gives you. And so we recognize there's a distinguishing here that Paul sets aside. He said there's an obedience side to it, and we obey not when it's convenient, okay? We obey when it's according to God's will and God's word. But we always honor our mother and father. We're always to do that. That's a heart issue, right? That in some ways could be even the way you say no. You know, you can say, let's just random, right? Let's say your parents are really on your case and they're saying, you know, something like, okay, I want you to lie to somebody. You can say, no, that's sin. What's wrong with you? You know, that's not really the most honoring way to go about it, right? Or you can just do it very honoring in a way that, I mean, you can express what you're feeling and what God's saying to you in a way that honors God. Do you guys understand that there's a huge difference? We don't have to always obey our parents. And I know for Asians, this is a huge thing, right? A huge thing. I mean, I'm currently counseling, not necessarily from SP, but people that, you know, came through SP in the past. I'm counseling them, and their parents are just giving them some bad life advice. I mean, some bad life advice. You know, that really comes out of their sinfulness, and really in this context, more out of their racism than anything else. You know, and you know, they're saying different things, but he's so conflicted about the honoring, and you know, and then the Korean, you know, whole kind of system of with parents and all that kind of stuff. And man, he's such a tortured soul. I feel so sorry for this guy. And I try to explain to him, listen, man, you don't have to obey your parents and everything, but you honor them, right? It's a heart issue. And we, I think we have to, you know, figure out where that line is crossed, you know, in our life, and then follow suit as we try to honor God in that way and try to honor our parents. Because this really is the only commandment that has a promise, right? That if you honor your mother and father, it's kind of, why this one? Have you ever thought about this? You know, surely if we don't murder someone, that should make us live longer. And you know what I mean? But there's something about this honoring, and I think my intuition, okay, this is not out of a scholarly study of the passage. My intuition is that because this is something that is reciprocal. In other words, eventually you become a parent yourself. Right? And there's something that happens as, you know, as you practice and you honor your mother and father, there's a generational connection that happens there, and that it just continues to follow through. You know, I found this out years ago when my some of you guys know my testimony. My sister lived with me for like 3 years, you know, their whole family. So I actually moved into the one little room that we had it was actually at my house. And so they moved in with, you know, husband, dog, you know, my little nephew, and they basically took over the house. And my brother-in-law, who's not a believer, grew up Catholic. He's Italian guy, you know, Italian American guy, and grew up Catholic and just really doesn't want anything to do with God. And he has a horrible relationship with his dad. I mean, a horrible relationship with his family. And then I saw my little nephew, my nephew, cute as a button, man. You know, he was like, 3 years old. So cute. So loving to me. So loving to my sister. But every time my brother-in-law would ask him to do something, you know, just it would be simple like, oh, Matthew, can you do this? He would say, no, no. You know, and just kind of give him this look, right? I'm like, whoa. It was kind of amazing. And I realized that, man, this is generational sin, you know, that's going forth, you know, in his own life. And I was like, wow, there is some truth to that. Honor your mother and father so that your life may be well with you. Okay? So make that distinction, obedience and honor. Obedience sometimes, right, when it's according to God's word and God's will, honor all the time. All the time. Right? You can honor someone even in the midst of rebuking someone, can't you? It happens that way. It's a process that we go about it. And then he says, right, again, walking in wisdom. And so he's giving advice. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is I'll be honest, I'm guilty of this myself. Right? My wife Lisa always says, don't provoke them. You know, I'm more kind of messing around with them. But you know what happens? You mess around with the kids and they get mad eventually. Right? That's my folly. I kind of mess around too much and then they get upset. I realize, well, I'm violating this word. And trust me, you want to walk in wisdom in this way because you don't want your wife to be upset with you. You don't want your kids to be upset with you. So learn from my folly in this. And then he says, and then he goes to a different set of relationships, and he's talking about slaves and masters. Now, I know this is a very controversial topic in the scriptures, you know, and people use these verses and whatnot to say God is you know, kind of turn a blind eye to slavery and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, he actually hasn't. Remember, the whole idea of Ephesians, one of the overriding themes is equality. It's this incredible unity that God puts in people through the Spirit, the unity of the Spirit. And so slavery in this context, in a Roman context, is very different than slavery that we saw, you know, in the 1800s and so on and so forth, where there were people selling each other and all these kind of things. The slavery context in the Roman culture was very, very different. It wasn't an exploitation of races and peoples and, you know, and all these things. I mean, it really wasn't. You know, you have to go back and do some research yourself and find that the Roman slavery was actually very different than the slavery that we think of. And so what you're really doing is you're comparing apples and oranges. They don't relate to one another. There was much more freedom, much more dignity coming here during this time as this is written. But the idea of this, he's actually giving preference to the slaves. And he's giving, you know, a sort of honor to them in the same way that they should relate to one another. And if you read it carefully, he's really talking to the slave owners and asking them to change their ways. He's just telling the slaves, you obey God. You make it as God, but to the owners, so you guys need to change, right? You need to treat them better and so on and so forth. And so he continues on this thought in that way. And so this is how we should walk in wisdom, especially in relationships, right? Especially in the context of people, you know, husbands, wives, children, parents, slaves, you know, fathers and their children, slaves and master. I mean, you can even connotate in some ways your work, you know, even though you're not really a slave, even though you may think you are, you know, but you may want to, you know, to glean some wisdom from that. And so on these in relationships. And then he gets to the final conclusion of the book of Ephesians. And this is the walk in warfare. Our walk as warfare. He says, finally, in other words, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Listen, the enemy has strategies. The enemy has procedures. The enemy has a malevolent hierarchy. The enemy is quite systematic in the things that he does. The enemy is like a book. You know, he's crafty, he's clever, but even he follows rules of engagement. And there are certain things that he does. And so he says here, put on the full armor of God so you can resist, right, and stand firm against these schemes. Now, notice the picture here, okay? Paul is changing. Before, he's saying walk, right? Walk in love, walk in light, walk in wisdom, walk, all right? This is the journey. Remember, the hodos, the way, walk. And then when he gets to the warfare, he says stop walking and stand firm. He's changing our physical posture in this way because this is the warfare. The warfare, you don't just walk through and glide through, right? You put your feet down and you get ready to fight. This is be strong in the Lord, right? The word stand firm, and he says it many times in this place. Stand firm. It's positional, you know. And really, this whole book is really talking about position, our position in Christ. But it's positional, but we stand firm. Again, he says stand firm. Before he says after you do everything, stand firm. Stand firm, therefore. And so he's talking about this position we have. And this is how we fight. You know, in almost any sport that you play, it's important for you to have a strong base. Have you ever heard that before? You know, if you're boxing, you know, it's important that your footwork is good and you have a base and all your power is coming out of your legs. You know, when you're playing baseball, you know, I play in a league here. And when you're playing, if your feet are kind of all jittery and moving around, you know, you actually can't really hit the ball very well. In basketball, right, you need to have a very firm foundation, you know, what we call a triple threat stance. You need to have these aspects, and it's all about your foot so that you have more power, you know, to go forth. And so he says here, stand firm. Now, the opposite of that, if there's a warfare that's coming and you're walking, you know, or that kind of idea, most likely running, it usually means you're running away. Going on the sidelines. Notice all the armor of God, it all protects your front. As soon as you turn your back and start walking away or start running away or sitting on the sidelines, you're dead meat. Right? Because this is the armor is meant for all of us to be facing the enemy and fighting. Not turning away, not going back, you know, running away from the battle. And so let's look at this armor. Well, before I get there, let's take a little step. And so he gives us this really profound insight that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, world forces of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, look how this is really. He says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. You know that boss of yours that seems to have it out for you? It's not him. There's something else at work behind him. You know, your friend who started backstabbing you? It's not him or her. It's that spirit working behind. Now, it doesn't mean that person has no responsibility. They have responsibility. You know, they're accountable. But in our approach to conflict, you have to go behind. What's going on behind the scenes? What's happening in this situation behind everything? It's really important for us to really have this attitude. And so instead of, because our initial thing is if someone messes us up, we're going to come back and we want to pounce on them. But that's operating in the same spirit. It's not going to work. We're meant to operate out of the opposite spirit. We had a time, and I don't know if I should share so much, but one time our when we were back at our old place, you know we were connected to the Korean church. Our relationship with the Korean church was really, really bad. It was really, it was really bad. And it wasn't us. It was them. They were like freaking out. I don't know what was going on with these guys. And so the elders and, you know, there are all kinds of things going on. And so I had this meeting. I was going to their board meeting, you know, and I was pissed. You know, I was like, what is this? And, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And when we begin to pray as leaders, we're going to pray about the situation. And we're reminded of this. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not those two elders that I think are bad. You know, it's actually, they're just mere men. There's something else going on behind the scenes. And so we prayed for a few weeks. I mean, we really prayed and said, God, give us wisdom. How do we go about this? And so I end up drafting this letter, you know, and I put it together. I really prayed through. And it was whatever they were coming our way, we're just moving in the opposite spirit. And there are a couple, one of the ones actually wanted to, in effect, kind of shut us down, you know, and all these things. And so so we go into the meeting, and the meeting, man, it was like thick. You could feel the animosity in the air. You know what I mean? I mean, it was just heavy. So I walk in, I sit down, and I think because, you know, my Korean is not really that great, Head-On was with me, and Head-On was my translator. And so we sat down in the meeting, and I just took the letter out. I actually gave one to all the elders. I took the letter out, and I just started reading from the letter, and I did so, and then I just started speaking. I just started sharing, you know, and just moving in humility, just really just sharing my heart and everything that's going on. I kid you not. In the midst of this, you know, Head-On's crying, right? I mean, she's trying to speak, but she's tearing up the whole time and things. And the atmosphere in the room totally changed. I kid you not, I'm not saying it's not because I'm such a good speaker. It was the Spirit of God. By the end of the meeting, these two particular elders that really had it out for me, they became my biggest supporters. In fact, they were telling the other elders, okay, hey, you know, we got to do, you know, all these things. You know, and we're sitting there, what in the world just happened, right? Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the powers, principalities, world forces, places of wickedness in the heavenly places. And as soon as you begin to figure that out, right, the more fruitful of a life that you'll have in God. If you, I'm not saying the devil is in the wind, right? Every breeze, ooh, the devil, that's the devil, you know? I mean, that's getting a little ridiculous, right? But at the same time, we need to recognize when we are confronted with seemingly like bizarre behavior, you know what I mean? When we're confronted with kind of craziness, I mean, have you ever sat down and tried to counsel a crazy person? I mean, a really mentally ill person. You know, I mean, someone that's just kind of like, what's, in other words, you know that reason doesn't work. The sooner you figure that out, even with daily situations in our life, that reason is that there's something else going behind the scenes. And so you need to be a spiritual man, a spiritual woman. You need to have discernment, and you need to pray and move in the opposite spirit, right? So he says to take up the full armor of God, because we're in a battle, man. We're in a war. I mean, it's unfortunate that we have so marginalized the spiritual in the church. I guarantee your friends that, you know, are going after all different kinds, they're more spiritual than many people in the church. We have totally taken out the supernatural. We've taken out the invisible. We've become so scientific, so rational, and we forget that the fullness of the scriptures is really a supernatural realm that we're talking about. And we've so divorced ourselves from these things. But our new age friends, our people that are doing yoga and doing all these kind of things, I'm telling you, they're full on into the spirituality of these things. But we've divorced ourselves in some way. And he says, look, our battle is not against flesh and blood. There's stuff that's going on behind the scenes. And we got to attack those things, not necessarily attack what's going on inside. That's why Jesus, if you notice, you know, like, sinners, and didn't really offend him that much. You know what I mean? I mean, he hung out with prostitutes, with tax collectors, considered traitors in their time and all these things. But it was actually religious people, because he sees something beyond them. He doesn't see the Pharisee. He sees something at work beyond the Pharisee, which was the devil, which is the enemy. And so he says, put on this full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day. In other words, there's going to be moments that come your way. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but there's going to be a day that comes your way that's going to be full of evil. This is our temptations, you know, this is where we're really in a battle, you know, of sin and to sin, not to sin. There's moments that are going to come our life, no matter how strong we are in the Lord, there's going to be moments that come across in my life, you know, and that's going to really wage this battle with you guys in that way. You know, I mean, you know, can I be really honest with you guys, you know, for a moment? I think it was last week someday, you know, and I couldn't go to sleep one night. And I was really, you know, for whatever, I don't know why, something was going on, I really couldn't go to sleep. And I had this strong desire, I'm just be very real with you, I had this strong desire to look at pornography. I was sitting in my bed, and I was sitting there. I was going, "What's going on?" I had this incredibly strong desire, and I just laid in bed for a while, and I was like, "Where is this coming from?" You know, I mean, I haven't had this desire in years. Where is this coming from? And then I just begin to pray and just seek the Lord in this thing, and then I was able to go back to sleep. But you realize, in that evil day comes, it comes in different forms and different fashions for different people. That evil day comes. And I recognize, and I knew, it's actually one of the reasons I was able to stay strong was that I knew the retreat was coming up. You know, and I thought, devil, you sucker, man. I mean, I started getting pissed off, right? Like, you want me to fall right now because you want me to be ineffective for the retreat. And, you know, I mean, it's like, I know how you work, man. You know, and just started getting really upset and just really started praying my anger, you know, in that. And then, gone. Just disappeared, just like that. Right? And so you gotta prepare yourself for that evil day. You know, it may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. But that day of evil is going to come your way, where the enemy is just slyly sitting behind the scenes and, you know what I mean, and just kind of lurking, and then boom, you know, he prowls around. Peter tells us, like a roaring lion seeking to devour. You know, I went to Africa, right? You know, these guys know, we've seen lions. They look lazy. They sit there and yawn and just kind of like scratch themselves all day long, but at any moment, they can pounce. You know, I mean, just amazing. He prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to devour. That they're real, you know, I was watching it because I guess they didn't eat during the night because they usually hunt at night and during the day. And they're so sly. There were a bunch of gazelles that were going by. And these lions kind of got up and very low. And they're just kind of like, almost like skating. You know, they're just kind of moving very slowly, just trying to get really close and just very smooth, you know, just kind of under the radar. But, you know, I mean, we're watching the whole time and just got up and just walking, just prowling around until they can go and attack. I mean, just amazing. The unfortunate thing is during the day they smell, right? So the animals smell them. They just take off. But it's quite interesting. And so be prepared for that evil day. So put on the full armor of God. And so he says, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. All defensive. You know, your loins, which talk about reproduction, right? You know what reproduces is truth. It's God's word that reproduces in someone's life. The breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is going to protect your heart, the seat of your emotions. You know, having you shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, other translations talk about the preparation of patience. In other words, you don't run into something, you know, that you should not be getting yourself involved with. In addition, taking up the shield of faith. This is how important faith is. That you'll be able to extinguish the flaming missiles of the evil one. This is how faith works, right? You have this shield of faith, and here's these missiles that the enemy throws our way. All kinds of different missiles. These could be thoughts. These could be temptations. This could be condemnation. I mean, all kind. And we've been alive long enough to recognize that we kind of are aware of the temptations that come over. I mean, you guys have been living your Christian life long enough to recognize that these things keep coming your way, accusations, attacks, and what handles that stuff? It's the shield of faith. It's faith that just covers us. It's faith that moves around. And so it's important for you to have a big shield. You know what I mean? You know, don't have this tiny little one. Have you ever watched I watched Braveheart last week. I was getting pumped up for the retreat. So I know I'm weird and stuff, but I watched Braveheart. You know, that movie really gets me going. And things, and so, do you remember the scene in Braveheart where they're shooting the, you know, arrows, right? And they're sitting there, and, you know, I look at that thing, and I was like, man, why don't you just get the biggest darn shield that you can find, that you can actually hide your whole body behind? Why are you, you know, because there's a scene where the guy's got a shield about this big, but then he gets hit in the leg, you know? I'm like, why don't you just get the biggest hunking shield that you can find so that when that happens, you don't get hit? It just makes common sense. But, you know, but a lot of these guys carry this little shield, you know, and these things. I mean, if I was in this battle, I would seriously find the biggest tree I could find and cut out the biggest shield around so I could totally cover myself. And that's really the point. The shield of faith, cover yourself. You know, let your faith in God, let your trust in the Lord be this shield, you know, around you and to really cover you, because the enemy is going to throw his missiles your way. He's after us. He's going to continue to go this way. And then he says, and take the helmet of salvation. This protects our mind, Right? This is our place in God, our salvation, the assurance of our salvation. And I mean, I can't think of anything else that helps us not to waver in our faith than the helmet of salvation. No, hey, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. You know, it protects our mind. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians, right? I mean, you know, a lot of Christians are walking around with a hat and nothing else. You know, they're just naked. If you came out of EMP today, you went outside and you walked around Central going to work, and you saw some dude with a hat and nothing else on, you think that guy's crazy. You know, I mean, what a crazy guy. There's a lot of Christians, all they have is the helmet of salvation. I'm saved. I belong to Jesus. And nothing else, right? And that's crazy. I mean, that is absolutely crazy. And then he says, and then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Notice, all the other weapons are all defensive, is to protect yourself. The only offensive weapon that God gives us is the sword of the Spirit. The word he uses, he says, is the Word of God. W-O-R-D, the word, is not logos. The word there in Greek is called rhema. Rhema means, it means the spoken Word of God. It's the word that's spoken out of our mouth, that comes out of our heart. That's why we do GIC. That's why we make people memorize scripture. Every single one of you should have an arsenal. And I particularly call it that. You should have weapons, a stockade of verses, which is your spiritual weapons. That whenever something comes your way, the missiles, you know, are coming your way, the way that you know, I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't want to just keep fighting, dodging missiles. You know what I mean? I want to actually go and cut off the archer, right? I mean, I want to extinguish the enemy that's coming my way. I don't want to sit there my whole life and start dodging and be defensive. I want to move on the offensive. But it's the Word of God. It's the rhema, the spoken Word of God. And so the enemy's throwing missiles your way, maybe about finances and all these things. And then you have weapons of warfare, right? Philippians, for my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Whack. I mean, that's how it works, you know? And then the flaming missiles don't come your way anymore. You know, maybe, you know, the enemy is dealing with you about unanswered prayer or maybe about sin or whatnot. And that's why, I mean, I love GIC. The first five books are gold. You know, the assurance series, assurance of salvation, assurance of answered prayer, assurance of victory, assurance of, help me out here. What's the other ones? Aren't you guys all graduated? Assurance of forgiveness, assurance of guidance, right? All these different aspects. The enemy comes our way. We cut this off. It's the sword of the Spirit, right? Which is the Word of God, the rhema of God, the spoken Word of God. And so you need to memorize scripture. You need to have scripture inside of you that when these moments come, bam, you're just able to cut off the enemy in that way. And with all prayer, petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. You know, Gordon Fee, I'm actually going to talk about this soon. Gordon Fee talks about when he writes this, he says, everyone in his time recognized what he meant. He was talking about speaking in tongues. He was talking about speaking and praying in your prayer language. Pray at all times in the Spirit. With this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance, petition for all the saints. And then it says, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for I'm an ambassador in chains. And then he continues on. He does his salutation, you know, his goodbye and greeting as he normally does. All right, so let's close our eyes. Walk in wisdom. And walk as warfare. Or better put, actually, more walk in wisdom and stand firm in warfare. This is why prayer is so important. He talks about all these things. He says, pray at all times. All kinds of prayers, all kinds of petitions. Pray in the Spirit. This is how we battle in warfare. If you are feel like that you're in a very particular season of warfare, or maybe you're in that evil day that I talked about, I want to really encourage you to stand firm. Don't run away. Don't sit down. Don't get on the sidelines. Stand firm. Stand firm. If you're in that evil day, temptations, condemnation, accusation, stand firm and fight. Stand firm and fight. Maybe you're in a situation that you're getting backstabbed, or you're entering really difficulty in relationships or in some situation. Stand firm. Your battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not your boss. It's not your friend. They're responsible, but recognize there's something going behind the scenes. Stand firm and fight the good fight of faith. As we sing this song, whatever God is speaking to you about this morning, about a situation in your life, or it could be for somebody else, begin to pray for them, for yourself, over this situation.
Thank you.
Sorry, we're still having some technical difficulties with our projectors. Let's pray right now. Let's spend some time. Whatever's going on, we talked about the sword of the Spirit. We talked about powers and principalities. If you're in a situation, just pray right now. Over yourself. Ask God's hand to be with you. Pray that you would stand firm. Stand firm in that place. And fight. Fight. Don't sit down. Don't walk away. Don't go to the sidelines. Fight. Well, let's fight the fight of faith right now in our lives. Let's go to our community prayer focus and let's pray for our brothers and sisters that are dealing with cancer. Can you guys see it on the screen? Okay, you guys can read it. Let's pray for also the people that are going through chemotherapy and that are in need of transplants. It's just the AC. See, the enemy is trying to disturb us again. What's up, man? Crazy guy. All right, let's pray. Let's lift up and let's ask God's hand to be with our friends and just really minister to them and encourage them before the Lord. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our community that has also illness, but more than that, that need that word of salvation. Pray for healing for them physically, but even more important, healing for them spiritually, that they would meet the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's lift them up. Pray for our community that are dealing with different kinds of sicknesses. Let's lift them up before the Lord. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray that God would bless them with employment and, you know, with a future and a hope. Let's just cover if they're feeling discouraged or anything like that, whatever financial problems they may be having because of their unemployment. Let's just ask God's hand to be with them. In particular, Hyge has a meeting today at 11 o'clock, returning interview. And so let's pray for favor in his interview today at 11. And let's just lift up our friends and ask God to really come through for them. And pray for open doors. But our mission prayer focus, and let's pray for Japan. You know, we had the awesome privilege of meeting Pastor Mitsunobu. Let's pray for their church in Kobe. Ask God's hand to be with him and them and their ministry there. Let's pray for Rachel and the Obergs in Thailand. Let's pray God would just breathe upon this nation. Pray for North Korea. Pray for the persecuted church inside. Pray for Chris Kim and his whole family. Pray that God's guidance and protection will be upon them, and pray also for our projects that we're about to take on as a church, huge projects that you'll hear about soon for North Korea. And let's just cover these countries and our friends ministering in these countries, and let's pray God's hand would be upon them and that the word of salvation would go forth. Let's pray for our church ministries. Let's pray for our kids and all the teachers and Pastor Carol at Noah's Ark. Pray for the nursery, the leaders there. Pray for SP Youth. And you guys are at the retreat. They're really looking for more volunteers in the children's ministry. And so let's pray that God would raise up people within the body to step into these positions. Pray for the youth group as they're growing. Pastor Nate and the teachers, pray for the men's and women's ministry. I heard they had a great barbecue a few weeks ago. Let's pray that the momentum would still continue to go forth and that people will really continue to connect with each other. And so let's lift our ministries and the things that the church is doing and ask the Lord's hand to be with us. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight. Let's pray for Conduit, Island, McRobinson, and Elements. Let's ask God's hand to be with them as they gather together, as they discuss and go over the retreat and all the messages. Let's pray for the leaders, that they would really just be really fine-tuned and hear God's voice, and you know, even the questions to go over and whatnot, and that they would really really come together even more. The retreat was just an amazing time for the house churches to come together, and let's pray they would just continue on in that as we come back to Hong Kong now. So let's just pray for tonight in our meetings. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for weapons of warfare, Lord. We thank you, God, that you're always with us, Lord. God, even in the midst of the battle, God, that you're right there. Lord, we believe in your word that, Lord, the battle belongs to you. Victory is to the Lord. And so we pray, God, that as we're going through, some of us may be going through that day of evil, God, that place of temptation or different, tragedies and difficulties, we pray, God, that we would not sit down, lie down, walk away, that we would stand firm and that we would fight the fight of faith. Lord, give us individually, a church, the strength and the faith to battle, God, to fight the fight of faith. We thank you, Lord. Just bless us, God, as we continue to pray, as we continue to seek your face, Lord, that you move upon us significantly, God. We thank you, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great time of prayer, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.